It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Stop the podcast!
Stop the podcast!
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Stand back. There's a hurricane coming through.
Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com is with us for the next hour. Taking your questions for PK on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Well, PK, you have now, since the last time we've spoken with you, seen the jerseys, you've seen the new logos for the Titans. Overall, what do you make of the design and the reaction that you've seen from the Titans and their rebrand?
I like it. I think it's a significant upgrade, but don't sell me that it's a Tennessee thing. I mean, guitar strings and a couple stars under the armpit and on the back of the collar, don't turn a Houston uniform into a distinctly Tennessee thing, which they say. And if people are cool with that, great. And people seem to be cool with that. So a generation removed from not wanting to be Houston, Tennessee Titans fans seem cool with being Houston. And if that's the case, that's fine. But I was here for all of that, and so I can't help but feel some tension because people desperately wanted to get away from that 27 years ago. And in those 27 years, the team clearly failed to root the seeds and to grow something that is uniquely Tennessee. And so now they're going back to something that, listen, the color scheme's terrific. The colors are terrific. But you're kind of starting from where you were in 1997. And if people don't have, if the team certainly doesn't have an issue with that, if the fan base doesn't have an issue with that, and you know, people have pointed out to me, like, kids today don't know who the Oilers were. And don't care, and that's fine. But a lot of your dads had a big issue with it in 1997 when they demanded a name change and a uniform change. And so I just see some inherent conflict and tension in that, which strikes me as odd and says something about the growth or lack of growth of the franchise as an independent thing over time. That said, I think they're pretty sharp. The logo is growing on me. I've always been a fan of the color.
Yep.
I liked the uniforms when I was a kid watching the league from the New Jersey area. I'm a big fan of that light blue, having gone to Columbia, which is something very similar. And I think they look better today than they did a week ago.
We I think estimated maybe 80-20, 85-15 the day after in terms of for versus against. But we like here's Stephen from Clarksville. He says, stop calling them the Tennessee Titans. That rebrand erased any and every inkling of the meaning of Titan. They will now be referred to as the Music City Oilers. At least that's what the new uniform suggests they want to be called. So, I mean, there are people who are upset, and I think you have it's an important history lesson there that you delivered the day that it happened, PK, that it was such a Bud wanted to still be the Oilers, right? And Yes. Everybody's like, no, this is going to be something new, something different. So, do you look at this decision as actually like? Wanting, I mean, I know what they say. Like you said, they're like, yeah, this is distinctly Tennessee. It's like, no, these are the Oilers uniforms. I mean, let's be real. But do you look at it like that's the idea, just almost even trolling Houston a little bit as part of it, or just that they think that people will like and will buy these jerseys up because they look so good and they just have it at their disposal and it's like the best thing you can come up with?
I mean, there's a percentage of trolling Houston in it, clearly. It bothers Houston that the Titans are in these colors. Houston feels ownership of these colors. It's it's the Houston color in some way, shape, or form. None of the other Houston teams wear it, but the Texans tried to wear it as a third uniform color. They made it a secondary color in that. University Houston tried to wear it and got a cease and desist letter. The Titans are very serious about their ownership of it and their control of it. So that's certainly, at the very least, regarded as a side benefit by Amy Adams Strunk that Houston is annoyed by it. And look, Houston won in their fight with the Oilers. They didn't build them a stadium, and they left. And Houston then built somebody else's stadium, and they have a pretty good setup there. So this is what the Titans have to hang over Houston's head. Most of these teams that left cities, the Rams from St. Louis, the Chargers from San Diego, the Cardinals from St. Louis, the Browns are a little different, but the Browns from Cleveland, all leave those cities in the dust and never look in the rearview mirror. And for some reason with Houston and the Titans, it's different. Because I think Bud wanted to stay more than most of those teams wanted to stay. And he very clearly lost where he was before he moved, as opposed to all looking forward to where he was winning.
Let's head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Ed in New Jersey to the program. Ed, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. I do like the uniform as a longtime Oiler fan. It is the Oilers. I would love the red face mask. And, Paul, I read your article about that or post about that.
Yeah, let me just chime in on that really quickly. They were, when we spoke in advance of the event with them, very intentional about the proportionality of the colors. And I came away with the distinct feeling. I mean, they did say something about not wanting to look exactly like the old uniforms with red face masks. But also, they wanted the proportionality of the colors to strike kind of the same measure that most of the classic uniforms, the Packers, the Cowboys, all of those strike. And I think a red face mask would have changed the proportionality in a way that they didn't like. Go ahead, gotcha. Ed.
My question is on Femi. Are we underestimating as a fan base? I mean, a lot of what I'm reading, fans want another edge solution, whether it be free agency. Are we forgetting that he's even on the team and that he was a second-round pick from this regime and not the previous regime? So my question is, how much does him being picked that high factor into his snap count moving forward next year? And if they were to draft one of these edges real high with number four, is that an admission that they were wrong on Femi?
No. Because the way I'm seeing it from the homework I've done, talking to Blake Bettingfield about where guys fit and putting together this forecasted depth chart, which is at my site, you should check out. Femi slots in Jermaine Johnson's spot. So, you know, they want to be too deep everywhere and roll people, but his game and body type and all of that is more the Jermaine Johnson big end spot, not the lighter end who will play wider, where I think it's Curtis Jacobs right now would slot as the second guy, but there is no first guy.
Yeah.
There's still a hole there.
Well, and by the way, you know, even further on the Femi point, like, yes, he's a second round pick. Yes, he was picked by this general manager. And yeah, like, he's going to play this year. But I think if you're heading into the year and you're thinking, well, he's a second round pick last year, so he's got to start. He showed nothing in the first year to make that an easy decision. Like, that's a huge risk to take if you're the Titans to operate from that way.
Yeah, and it's the front office, but it's not the coaching staff, too. You know, that's another thing to keep in mind. So, yeah, I mean, to me, it's like, I mean, it's going to be a big problem. Yeah, you know, it's a bad deal for Borgonzi if he doesn't take a huge jump this year. But I mean, like, you have to win. You have, you know, in this league, like, you if you're worried about stuff like that, if you're giving a guy snaps who isn't earning them because of where you picked him, I mean, that's what bad organizations do, right?
There's a lot of versatility among these guys that they've put together up front, and some of them probably don't even make the team. They've got so many now. But that rush end spot, the smaller end spot, does not have a lot of bodies there. I've got a blank. Jacob Martin would be the second guy. Jalen Harrell would be the third guy. Allie Gay would be the fourth guy.
Yep.
That's not a big collection of people.
Yep. I think it's very fair. 615-737-1025. Our phone number. Lots more coming with PK. More of your questions on the Titans at 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game, presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. For homes and businesses that want to stand out, not blend in, visit greenventureslandscaping.com. Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com is with us. Rex Road claims he has a very important question to ask Kuharski. I don't know what it is. I'm excited to hear it. So, Joe, the floor is yours.
Too. Could go well, so many directions.
Yeah, well, I just, before we, you know, get off the uniform stuff and into more football stuff, it's actually a couple of questions in one. One, what is your deal like attacking T-Rack? And two, what was with this total tantrum you had about poor young Andrew? Like, you're still tweeting about it? Like, what was your little tantrum there? And please explain yourself.
I'm not still tweeting about it. T-Rack.
You just did yesterday.
T-Rack is a absolutely foolish mascot. I've called him a squirrel for 27 years. A squirrel is an upgrade from a raccoon. Listen, just because the state animal is a raccoon, I can't believe how many people defend this. Well, it's the state animal. How could you not like the mascot? It's the state animal. Well, if you're dumb enough to pick a state animal who's digging around in my trash, I can't make up for the state animal being stupid, but I could go at you for picking a stupid mascot.
Pick a mascot that's better than
one that's digging around in my trash. And for years and years at the beginning, when they made fun of them, they said, it's for the kids. It's for the kids. It's for the kids. Well, I don't want my little kids saying, oh, look at the cute raccoon with rabies digging in my trash. Maybe I'll go pet him. That was a perfect time for them to tie into the Greek mythology and create like a animated character of a Titan. Yeah. Zeus, yes. It's the state animal. Forget that he has rabies and he's digging through your Chinese food takeout garbage in the trash. It's a dumb mascot.
On. What is the really intelligent animal, state animal of New Jersey, PK?
I have no idea.
What? Okay.
I have no idea. But the Scarlet Knight is a good mascot for Rutgers. It's a knight.
According to AI, state animal of New Jersey is the horse.
Yeah, much prefer a horse. domesticated in Springsteen stables up there. Lots of horses. His daughter, Olympic rider.
Bigger poop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, the second thing, I have a confession, and I used this in my ethics class the other night. I should have kept my mouth shut. Now, I think that there are members, including Andrew, of the Titans press corps that simply don't understand how things work.
What do you do?
And it's not a matter of having been in a class. It's a matter of common sense. They have an embargoed meeting for us where we see the uniforms and we get information so that we can go write stuff and release it at 8:20 when the release comes out. What you do after that meeting is shut your mouth. You don't go out and tweet, all your AI predictions are wrong. Or tonight's going to be even more exciting than you can imagine. Because what that's doing is telling everybody, I've seen it and you haven't. And it's engagement farming. Bucko got 68,000 likes on his tweet. And I think it's unbecoming. And you could call me a baby or old school or whatever. The meaning of an embargo is, between now and the time we tell you that you can go, you do nothing. Nothing. And so then, to my discredit, I commented on them commenting, which broke my own ethical rule because I was so pissed off. And I got more attention than they did, but everybody was on my side. I should have shut up and done what I said. But and these guys are like so nonchalant about it. No. Bucko. I would never invite you to another embargoed event in your life because you don't understand what an embargo is. And you don't get to decide. They're like, no, it's okay. It doesn't matter. You don't get to decide. The people who embargo the information get to decide.
Well, and were they mad?
They weren't happy.
Mm. There you go.
Andrew's in trouble with more than just
Andrew,
you.
Though, doesn't care. And Andrew, for weeks and weeks, says, what a dumb thing. Shouldn't be a thing. In middle of free agent, but then he's there, front row center, doing the whole thing. Then he's there tweeting about the embargo. I mean, he's just got no structure to his thing. It's just not.
Joe's very happy.
I'm glad I asked.
Joe, do you know?
Better than I thought.
Then I didn't mention him on it because I just figured he'd see it or whatever. And then so I sidled up to him. I didn't see him for a while. I argued with Easton and his boss in the room and told them what I thought. And then I saw Buck, you know, later during the thing, and I sidled up to him and I said, you know, I ripped you on Twitter. And he's, of course, like, yeah, you know, I don't care. And I said, I know you don't care, but, you know, I care about being in front of you to face you after I ripped you.
Exactly. Joe, do you know the state animal of Michigan?
Wolverine.
Is it the wolverine?
No, it's the white-tailed deer.
Oh.
Again, far more appropriate than a raccoon. Why would you pick a raccoon?
A lot of people kill those.
State fish is the brook trout, in case you were wondering.
By the way, T-Rack and I get along perfectly fine.
That's good.
This is a playful, playful exchange back and forth, and it's done wonders for T-Rack's profile, quite frankly.
Yes. Let's head back to the phone line. Welcome in Dave to the program. Dave, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning. I never thought I'd follow Rabie raccoons and embargoes.
They should name him that. Rabie the raccoon.
You never know what's going to happen.
Look, and this guy is so mysterious.
Rabie.
This guy is so mysterious, they had to put the name of the animal in the name of the mascot to make it clear what he is.
Rabie would be amazing.
Go ahead, Dave.
And they wear blindfolds, too. I have I think I'm on the love train. My question or comment is, you know, if we look at our quarterback drafted first last year, we thought that maybe the quarterback class wasn't great, but that was where we were. Then we look at this year, or look at last year, the performance wasn't outstanding, but he was a rookie. And then we look at our receivers, which is probably not the all-pro list of receivers we would like. And so maybe we need the love train. Maybe we need, if he is dynamic as people think, maybe we need him to carry the offense versus the reality of where we are with receivers and our quarterback, who, by the way, did get injured at the end of last year.
Yep. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate the call.
Yeah, Love's a good underneath pass catcher. Yeah. You pair him with Wandale Robinson, it plays to the strength of, Cam's not the most accurate deep ball thrower. You know, you layer that guy in a season later. But it all makes sense. I'm not saying it doesn't.
Let me ask you this. So, Wandale Robinson, we talked about him last week. Now, I am under no illusion that Wandale Robinson is like some number one wide receiver or anything. But I do think some of the conversation around him has probably swung the other way too far, which is like he's just some dude. I mean, he did catch 92 balls last year and 93 balls the year before. So, like, yeah. I think we've gone from maybe overhyping Wandale Robinson before this whole thing started to now there, you know, people are acting like this is just some fourth wide receiver that they've signed. And I think we've gone too far the other way.
I agree with you, and I think their intent is obviously to maximize him. And also, I think the number was 43%. He lined up 43%, not in the slot.
Yeah.
So he's not, you know, they'll feature him there, obviously, and that's his best spot. But he's not going to predictably be there every single snap. You know, so they'll have opportunities for other people there. They'll be in two wide sometimes when I'm sure he'll be in that package. So, you know, there's reason to be optimistic about him. So we'll see. And if he's with Love and they're both on the field, you know, they should do some inventive, creative stuff where Cam can get rid of the ball quick, which would help you with that offensive line, which we still have a lot of uncertainty about, where they're getting rid of the ball in a quick way into the hands of some guys that can make the first guy miss and do some things for you.
So when they're in three wide, you know, they may add someone, obviously, and they may add someone high, and maybe that changes things. But right now, I mean, it's Wandale, Ridley, and DK, right?
Yeah. With Isle Manor would be the first next guy. And then, unless I'm forgetting somebody, you know, you'd get into the Bryce Oliver area.
Yep. No, I think that's right. By the way, a lot of people pointing out how smart raccoons are on the text line right now.
Some are saying smarter than DK. The way they
open the lid of garbage cans is it's very, very crafty and smart.
I mean, what's smarter, a raccoon or a horse? Seriously.
I'll take a horse.
Well, yeah, you take a horse. A horse is, you know, nice looking, you know, people.
Yeah, describe a horse, Joe.
I mean, a horse is
pretty,
more of a majestic animal.
Nice, you know. Nicely.
They brush the hair.
Fantastic on a beach.
Great form when they gallop.
Fantastic on a beach.
But is a horse actually smarter than a raccoon? You know, is
it's got a bigger brain. I'm going to go there. Bigger brain.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I think that's a fair
question. Put that up as a poll.
You and others.
Is a horse smarter than a raccoon?
I'm going through state animals here. I mean, you got the moose in Alaska, California, the grizzly bear.
So I mean, every one of these that you've mentioned so far is preferable.
Great. Yeah, I mean the Washington D.C. state animal is the big brown bat. So there is that.
That's not as good.
Well, it counts in this discussion. I'm reading from USA Today. It's on
district animal.
Well, yeah, let's go to other states that would do ridiculous things. Hit me with like Alabama and Mississippi.
All right. Well, Alabama is the black bear.
Better.
Mississippi is, let's see here, Mississippi's state animal is also, it's the white-tailed deer and the red fox.
Both better. They've got two and they beat us at both.
The state water mammal for Mississippi is the bottlenose dolphin. And how about this?
How can Mississippi have a dolphin?
The official animal for Missouri is the Missouri mule, which is a hybrid horse and donkey.
Better.
What do we make of that?
Better.
What?
Than a raccoon.
Not better.
Yeah. Is that like a liger? Like a fake animal?
The Missouri mule. A hybrid horse / donkey.
I get one of those every time I sidle up to a bar.
We got to get a little bit more creative on the state animal stuff, though. There's a lot of white-tailed deer. A lot of white-tailed deer out here.
Really? So yeah.
People are working on minimizing the population of those.
So you don't have to.
No other raccoons, though.
There's no exclusivity. Huh?
No.
It's just some states.
A lot of black bears and white-tailed deer.
We'll just copy Connecticut.
Yeah. Huh. No.
Well, that's why Tennessee went with the raccoon. Nobody else will choose this.
Yeah, I don't see a single other vote for raccoon on here. Although, I mean, the Missouri mule, I think, may get my vote. 615.
It's for the kids.
Those things scare the crap out of me, seriously.
Tony Wiley, the PR director back at the beginning.
Oh, yeah. See one in the day? Run away.
See?
I mean, they're not nice.
You run away. But we're telling our kids, go sit with that guy over there. Let me take your picture.
We got a call for a raccoon. Smarter than horse.
Smarter than horse? Who's, probably.
According to who?
I didn't get his name.
Okay.
Was he a veterinarian?
But raccoons apparently.
Was he a zoologist?
They have the thumbs. They got some thumb usage, and they wash their food.
I mean, my parents had horses, chickens.
They like wash their food. In their Never mind that their poop. Food is decayed the for 5 days in my garbage can. They clean it up. Geniuses.
I've seen the
There's no a flaw First in the hand. System.
There's a raccoon that killed like 8 of my parents' chickens one time. It was gruesome.
Oh, my goodness.
Kind of vicious. We'll get to more of your thoughts for PK coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Paul Kuharski with us here on the program. A lot of reaction to state animals on our text line right now. One texter says, all we need is Robert Saleh in an interview saying the front line is going to swarm the quarterback like a pack of rabid raccoons, and I'll die laughing. Do need Saleh to work this in here at some point.
Did you see the detailed post about the intelligence
of the raccoon? Oh, they're from AI. I saw it.
I'll quickly summarize. They're generally considered smarter than horses, at least in terms of problem solving and cognitive flexibility. Remarkably large brains. They can remember solutions to tasks for up to 3 years. Dexterous front paws. They manipulate locks and latches. But horses have strong emotional intelligence. So. Thank you, Fernandez.
How do they determine how long a raccoon can remember a solution to a task?
I like an emotionally intelligent animal.
Well, I mean, I guess if they did something and then if
they're tracking this thing for 3 years.
Well, if you're at the zoo, they could be like,
this guy unlocked the trash can 3 years ago, and 3 years later he remembered how to do it. It's amazing.
They do.
That's the puzzle solving I need out of an animal is how to open the bin that I have my trash cans in to prevent him from getting in. And to satisfy my HOA.
Let's head back to the phone line. Welcome in Peyton to the program. Peyton, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, good morning, fellas. My total take on Jeremiah Love is I've had the privilege of watching him for the past 2 years being a Notre Dame fan. And he's the best player in the draft, and if you have a chance to take that caliber of a player at 4 when you don't need a quarterback, I think it's a no-brainer. If people disagree with that, I encourage them to go watch every Notre Dame game for the past 2 years and just remember that there's a guy back there by the name of Kadarian Price who he split carries with. And had Kadarian Price not been in the backfield and had Notre Dame made the playoffs, he's probably your Heisman winner because he put up ridiculous numbers while splitting carries 50-50 with probably the second best running back in this class.
Didn't Jason White win a Heisman Trophy? I mean, I'm not drafting guys based on winning a Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, Heisman Trophy. There's a lot of Heisman Trophy winners who do nothing in the NFL. And this is unscientific, okay? I think Jeremiah Love's great.
Yeah.
Great player. He's going to be good in the NFL. But, like, he needs to be, you know, like Saquon. I don't think he's Saquon Barkley. I think Saquon Barkley coming out of Penn State was a little bit higher level player. And, again, I absolutely could be wrong here.
Where do you put him with the last two big first? High first rounders, Bijan and Genty.
Yeah, I don't think he's Bijan either. Now, look, here's a great example of me. I may end up being wrong on Genty because he wasn't great last year. I mean, they aren't good, but you still hoped maybe he would on his own move the needle a little bit more, and he wasn't. You know, he wasn't great, so maybe I'm wrong because I really thought he was a guy worthy of top half of the first round. I'm not saying Love isn't. I just, it's like you do have to factor in I love best player. Best player is what they should do. But if best player is close and it's Love and it's close and it's Bailey, then whatever there has to be part of your formula also has to be the position, right? I mean, I think it has to be. Not that it's a need position, just the fact that we just saw the Super Bowl MVP, as you said earlier, BK, just sign with someone else. They let him walk. Like, you can get good backs all the time in this league for cheap, and you will not go out and get yourself a great edge player ever unless you draft that player. That's just right. That's reality.
I think you also factor in somewhere. Is he a five-year player or is he a 10-year player? And with the back, he's more likely to be a 5-year player. And with the end, right, he's more likely to be a 10-year player.
Yep.
If things pan out for you.
Well, and there's, you know, people keep focusing on, you know, how does he stack up with Robinson? How does he stack up? I mean, the real question in the short term is, how does he stack up with Arvell Reese? How does he stack up with David Bailey? Because that's where you're making your decision, right? Like, if one of those two guys are available, and I guess you could throw Bain in there too, even though it feels like he's kind of losing some momentum here. But those two guys, like if Reese is available at number four, or if Bailey is available at number four, how much better is Jeremiah Love than those guys? That's what it really comes down
to. And there's been talk lately, and you never know how much of this is smoke, about teams coming up to Arizona's spot.
Yep.
And Austin Fort's shown a willingness to deal, and certainly Arizona needs a lot. Come up to Arizona's spot, get Love. You get Love there, that leaves one of these defensive ends available for the Titans. And maybe they've been working to make that happen this whole time. From, you know, Matthew Berry saying, the Titans love, for since the combo.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. So we talked about center and right guard, and we'll see what happens on the Zeitler front. From the start of the center kind of discussion here, since Cushenberry's been gone, I have been against the idea of drafting one to play with a, you know, having a rookie center and a second-year quarterback. I don't love that combo. However, like, I don't love the options that are right now at the disposal for the Titans. And whether that's, you know, Schlottman that's coming in, you know, whether, you know, who knows what they do with Jackson Slater and where he ends up being, whether that's a guard or a center. So I guess what I'm saying, PK, is if they end up finding a center option that's a better player in like the fourth or fifth round than what they currently have on the roster, I'm more open to that than I thought I would be, even knowing that I still just really don't like the idea of a rookie center and a second-year quarterback. Where do you come down on that?
Well, funny how you're forced into that. You know, I would think the ideal scenario now is probably Schlottman, Slater, and then a fight between guys that you could get in the fourth round. Maybe Sam Hecht from Kansas State, Jake Slaughter from Florida. Slater and Slaughter would be a pain in the ass.
Yes, it would.
Logan Jones
it's
from Iowa.
It's also Schlottman, by the way. You said Schlottman wrong, too.
No,
for the
my
record.
Bad. Schlottman.
Schlottman?
I was telling – that's apparently that's how you say it. So
where'd you get that?
Just trying to help PK.
No, that's good. Where'd you get that?
It's actually been mentioned on multiple shows on this station.
Okay.
I think I heard DVD talking about it, too.
I'll need to look that up. Logan Jones from Iowa, Brian Parker from Duke. Now, I would see, you know, if one of those guys you like and you think can contend out of the gate, I would say best case scenario is he's a Nate Davis and he's ready in a month. Schlottman? Now I don't know it. Now
Rex Rose totally ruined it.
I mean, he played very well when he played for John Michael Schmitz, is it?
Sure.
Now I'm all over the place.
Let's Rex have some more name head. Fun.
He played four games at the end of the season for the Giants, and he played very well. You know, so maybe he's better than we think. I'm expecting Sala, Daboll, and Brasillo to get better play out of some guys. I don't think when they signed him, they said, hey, he's our starting center. I think they said, if we need him to compete, he can compete for the job. And then the free agent market at center went berserk on them, some of it before they could even get in on it, McGovern. And so now they may be in that situation. But center is not the ideal position, like you're saying, Robbie, to have a new guy. But if they get Zeitler back and they had a three-way competition at center, you know, you could have worse case scenarios.
You need, to me, like, you need more possible answers, because right now they don't have a surefire answer.
Yep.
And I like, if they can get someone to develop who's good, then that would be good. Jabari on the YouTube chat says, loves Jahmyr Gibbs. I don't think he is. Now, if he is, then draft him. but I just don't know. And Richard says, how many GMs and coaches make it 10 years? I don't see that as a factor for the guys making the pick. But the point is, you know, you're trying to add long-term players that are definitely going to get a second deal. And yeah, you hope to be the GM signing that player to the second deal.
Yeah. Well, even if you're not, your job is the long-term health of the organization. You think he's only picking like, oh, if this guy's good for 3 years, right, that's fine with me.
Right.
That's not the way you extend your shelf life.
And there are GMs in this league who have been in their jobs more than 10 years too, by the way.
State mammal for Connecticut.
He's only in his second year. So,
state mammal for Connecticut, the sperm whale. We have, let's see here.
I like that.
The gray fox of Delaware. Some people don't have
Hartford Whalers,
a state animal. Indiana, no state mammal. Iowa, no state mammal. So we got to get on
Indiana,
the ball on that
Indiana's
front.
State animal is Andrew.
Does Indiana have a state fish as opposed to a state
That's
mammal?
A good question.
Does
it have
a state reptile?
By the way, New York state animal, state mammal is the beaver. So there you go.
Beaver. I mean, wow. Virtually every animal you've named in my personal catalog is superior to a raccoon. I can't think of one you named that I wouldn't want my kid to have a stuffed animal of above a raccoon.
That's a
I'm afraid
long
of
list.
Beavers too, but hey, you do you, buddy.
615-737-1025. One more segment with PK coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com is with us here on the program. Taking your thoughts for PK at 615-737-1025.
We were just talking. I am anti-trade for the Titans almost across the board. But the Dolphins are trading or getting rid of everybody. And A-Chain from Miami is on the board. If the Titans could get him as a running back, play him, Pollard, and Spears, I don't know what the price tag on that deal is. But, you know, if he's in the fourth, fifth range because they're dumping people, I'd make that trade in a second.
You'd give him this year's fourth?
Yeah.
I would.
I think I would. You would not?
I would. Yeah.
Yeah, I would too. Absolutely. Then he's a dynamic, very good player. We know what he is. Then you just, there's no, obviously the Jeremiah Love stuff is over and, you know, I don't think you're going to regret that. I think Jeremiah Love's going to be a good player in this league. I don't think he's going to be such a great player that you're going to be like, oh my God, what have we done? I just don't think I don't think he's that.
And this was my proposal from the beginning. I thought, you know, the free agent crop was going to be good. Then you know, you got some tags and some other and re-signings and stuff, which is what always happens in a free agent position that looks good. But my proposal was you get a guy for another 2 years the way you kind of got Pollard, and then in 2 years your roster should be healthy enough that you go back into the draft well, and you get your next Eddie George, Chris Johnson, Derrick Henry. You know, then you have the luxury of being able to get back in that kind of rhythm where you get your 6 or 8 year running back should you be able to find him. Well, you're not forcing it, but looking for it.
Well, and by the way, this is all going to be fascinating again here this time next week, Joe, when Ohio State has their pro day. And Carnell Tate goes from running a 4.53 to a 4.46 or whatever it is, and all of a sudden everybody will be mock drafting him to the Titans again.
Maybe, yeah. It is like there's just no talk of.
Oh, it's totally gone.
No talk that I see of receivers even going in the top 10.
Other than like
really,
Field
right?
Yates, yeah.
By the way, A-Chain's contract is unbelievably reasonable. Yeah. I don't know why they would be looking to get rid of him. He's due 5.76 base salary this year.
It has been reported that he's up for sale, or just that's your assumption?
No, I mean, there's stuff floating around on Twitter that he's up for sale. His cap hits $6 million.
Yeah,
I mean that makes
Malik
him more. Somebody?
I think that
come
makes
on in,
him
Malik.
I think that makes him more expensive than a fourth.
I would agree.
You may be right. Yeah, you need to give Malik Willis a little bit of help, right?
You would think.
I mean, no. This whole Malik thing is bring in Malik, get rid of absolutely everybody else.
Yeah, he'll carry the whole
run. Malik will run and throw to invisible people.
PK. They'll run the option, but never pitch because there's no running back.
Yeah, it's been a very informative segment with you today. We appreciate the commentary on both football and the state.
Look,
state animal.
I'm not thinking covered. I could change the state animal. I'm just campaigning to change the mascot. And they blew the opportunity for that. But we got guitar strings. Don't block the box. Be sure to lock your locks.
That does it for us today on the program. PK with us every Wednesday morning from 8 to 9. Next man up with Jake Lyman coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.